Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for the God that you are. Thank you for the God that you continually, every day when we wake up, show up and reveal to us. Father, we're grateful for the opportunities that we have to worship. Father, it seems like these days we're worship times as a family are even more precious. Maybe they should always be, Father, but you have reminded us in these times how precious they are. Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in the quiet moments of life. Today, Father, we worship you, and we thank you for who you are. In the name of Jesus, amen. She was beautiful. I mean, everybody said it. It wasn't a face in the room, the eyebrows weren't raised, or somebody said something kind about how beautiful she was. She probably never really realized it, because you see, this young lady lived a normal life, an everyday life. But as she was in the middle of living her everyday life, something else was happening. There was a kingdom, and a king decided that he needed to show everybody in the kingdom who he was. And so he had a great celebration, and he would kind of put in front of people all his glory and all his majesty. And so there's two stories taking place in our story today. A story of an ordinary yet beautiful young lady. And the story of a king who was a king of the times. He needed to show who he was. He needed to show all that he was in his kingdom. And after he had this big display to show who he was, he had a 7-day banquet for all the royal people around him. And everyone was invited from the least to the greatest, and there was no restrictions on drinking. I mean, this was the party of parties. I mean, no one else had a party like this. And if you liked doing that stuff, you would have liked this. You would have liked being at this party, at this banquet. And the king asked his queen to join him. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to show off his queen? But in this particular party, she said, "I'm not coming. I ain't going to be there." Can we say ain't? Ain't? Yeah, all right. We'll say ain't this morning. She said, "I'm not showing up." Well, this hurt his ego, and he said, "Enough with you." And so he said, "You can't ever be in front of me again. So you're not going to hang out with me. You're not going to be with me. You're not going to be, as a matter of fact, you're not going to be queen again." So if he doesn't have a queen, he's got to get a new queen. So this king started the search out of all 127 provinces in his kingdom, brought all these, I mean, this is like Miss America on steroids, okay? This is the story of all stories, the pageant of all pageants. And these women came, and they were given beauty treatments. And they were prepped and primed to be before the king, because he was looking for a king. Because if his other queen wouldn't do it, he's got to find another queen that will do exactly what he said. All right, I mean, he's got an ego to fulfill. And then there's this one girl, you know, that ordinary girl that I talked about. She was beautiful, and the leader of the harem of all the harems was impressed with her. She found favor in his eyes. And so Hadassah, which is her name, she found great favor in his eyes. She was a Jew. And now, she didn't say anything, because her older cousin, who had raised her as his own after her parents died, had said, told her, warned her, "You do not tell them that you are a Jew." You see, if you think racism started in this country, you would be way wrong, because they were scared. They were scared because of their nationality, what would happen. So this beautiful young lady who was a Jew found favor in the eyes of the one that led the harem. And she got special treatment, special food. I don't know what the special food was. I mean, in my day, I would say brisket and ribs and stuff like that, but I bet it was something even better and greater for her beauty. And then she was given 12 months of beauty treatments. That's a lot of beauty treatments. She was already gorgeous. She was already beautiful, but she received 12 months of beauty treatments. So she comes before the king, all right? And we're telling this story. She comes before the king. He's like, whoa, I want her. I want that one. That one has to be mine. All right, thinking very much as an object. If you thought there was sexism first in our world, you would be wrong. She made quite the impression on him. So he went and he put a royal crown on her head. But then there was something else that happened. After all this happened, at the city gate, her cousin, remember the one that raised her from birth? He overheard two of the king's officials plotting to kill. I mean, this is like real stuff. And so he warned his younger cousin. She told the king those two guys were impaled on poles. I don't know what it looks like to be impaled on poles, but I'm sure it's gruesome. And so we go on with our story. And there was a guy in the kingdom that was made just under the king. And he wasn't a very nice guy. And he didn't like Mordecai because Mordecai, he wouldn't bow down to him. You see, he had a complex too. And so he went to the king and he said, King, there's a people in this land, not just one man, but there's a people in this land that don't do what you want them to do. What should we do with him? I think they should be disposed of. The king said, oh, you got to do what the king says. So you do with him whatever you want to do with him. And so this guy sought out to kill the Jewish people in the province. So all of a sudden, there is fear amongst the people. The cousin reaches out to his cousin. And he says, listen here. Don't think because you are where you are that you will be spared. Because only you, as a Jew, will be found out. All of us will be murdered. So the queen, the new queen, the Jewish queen of Persia, has two banquets for the king. But in the middle of this, I woke up last night, by the way, and I couldn't sleep. Part of it was because I was thinking about, how do you tell a story like this? How do you share a story like this? The king woke up one night and couldn't sleep. So what do when you can't sleep? Normally we get on Facebook and look on Facebook, or we'll turn the TV on, or we'll just lay there. But he didn't just lay there. He had the chronicles read, the chronicles of everything that happened in his kingdom. And in those chronicles, it was found out that the queen's cousin was the one who saved him. Oh, it was wonderful. And so he honored the queen's cousin. You know, the one that, we'll just say Haman, the guy that didn't like the Jews, was about to try to kill. Long story short, through the banquets, it was revealed that Haman was going to kill the cousin, and he would eventually kill the queen and would kill every Jew in the kingdom, and that he wanted to kill this guy, Mordecai. So, long story short, the king impels Mordecai on the very gallows that he, Haman, on the very gallows that he had created for Haman. And because of what Mordecai did, this king elevated him to second in all the kingdom, right under the king. And because of this, all of the Jews flourished, and everybody in the land was promoted in the eyes of the king. And thus, a Savior is saved. Because we know that generations later, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, would come through these people. And so if you haven't read, and some of you are looking through your Bibles making sure I'm telling the story right, or if you've never heard this story, if you've never read this story in the Bible, that's the story of Esther, where God's name is never mentioned one time. But it's a story where God shows up in incredible times of distress, in incredible times of sorrow, in incredible times of what do we do now and where do we go? You see, a people who were about to be annihilated were saved through Esther, the new queen of Xerxes. Isn't it funny how God works? We think, I think I heard David talking this morning as I was going back and forth, how we begin to say, well, God, this is how it should be, right? I mean, I know how my life should play out. I know how my life should roll. I know the things I need to do in life. And so I begin to say prayers of, God, help me get to this point. Help me get to this spot. I promise you that Esther, living her ordinary life, did not know or did not think that she would be the queen of Persia. She never dreamed that. But isn't it funny how God works in ways that we don't imagine? Here was an ordinary person elevated to a high level, and God working through all the little things. And I remember I heard a sermon from the minister, please forgive me, don't tell him I forgot his name, at Grace one time, and he was talking about Esther. And these were not coincidences. He calls them God incidences, and how God worked through this story to bring about the salvation of the people, of his people, and eventually the salvation of a Savior, eventually the salvation of us. And so how God works in this story is amazing. I encourage you to take time to read it. Bring up your Bible app. Have it read to you more than once. And watch how God works, how these God incidences are working through a story. But this morning, let's talk about something about God. There's something about God in this story and in the Bible that reminds us of who he is. And first of all, is that God has a mind. God has a mind. And if you're just now trying to follow God, if you're now trying to listen to God and do I want to follow this God, let me tell you, he has a mind. This is not some God sitting on a shelf. This is a God who is alive and well. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 and 34 says, oh, the depth and the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? God has a mind to think. And so in the middle of our crisis, in the middle of our stories, in the middle of our world, we have to understand that the God that we serve is thinking. And I know that seems kind of elementary or shallow, but it's not. I think I need to know when I go to God in prayer, when I go to him in prayer for whatever it is, whatever struggle I'm dealing with, that he has already thought about it, that he has already known about the things that I know about. You know, that Jesus would remind the disciples in Matthew that that God already knows the things that we need before we even ask him. God has a mind. Not only that, but Isaiah would say this. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I mean, we can't get on the same level as God. I think sometimes we think we can. I've talked about it before. I think that was one of Satan's great temptations, was convincing Adam and Eve that they could be just like God. We can't be like God. We don't think like God. God has a mind, and it is way different than ours. And so sometimes we get frustrated because, God, you're not listening. Truth is, God is listening. He's already thought about it. But not only does he have a mind, he has a will. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had this idea in Daniel, this thought after he went through some pretty big things. It says that in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, all the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven. No greater power than the power of heaven, all right? When you think of power in this world, there's no greater power than the power of heaven. And the peoples of the earth, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? I'm so reminded in this time. We're still dealing with things in this country that just kind of pull us apart and divide us and make us stress out and make us wake up and not be able to sleep. But I'm still reminded that God has providence, that God has providence with us, that God knows ahead of time. The word providence, pro, the word pro meaning before, or ahead of time, evidentia meaning to see. It's where we get the word video. If you ever play a video game or you watch a video, it comes from the term evidentia. But this is God. He sees ahead. He has a will. He has mind. He has a will and has providence. He can see things ahead of time. That's the story of Esther. Going into Esther, you can see how they would be worried, but God was not, because he had seen life before. And let me say this about us, that God sees us before. If you struggle in life, if you wonder, young people, if you wonder, where in the world is this going to end? When am I going to get to go back to school? When am I going to get to go do the things I want to do? When am I going to get to play the things I need to play and visit the places I want to visit? God knows, and God will see the end of this. It's not for us to decide, but that's for us to follow. Now, something about God and something about life. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. My sound booth was freaking out for a second. Life is often filled with periods of silence. Isn't it? Those lonely moments in the middle of the night. Those times when you haven't heard from God. Life is often filled with those moments of silence. Abraham, can you imagine waiting? Can you imagine waiting for the son to be born that would bless the rest of the world? Can you imagine the Israelites in the wilderness wandering day after day after day, not knowing where God was going to show up? The years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that page in between, that's 400 years if you don't know that. There are 400 years between the last prophet of the Old Testament and when Jesus shows up on the scene. 400 years of not hearing from God, of silence. That's why they rejoiced so greatly when Jesus came, because that was God speaking to the whole world. You see, life is filled with moments of silence. But big moments are often started, or often begin, with quiet, subtle moments. The king couldn't sleep. The king laid there, not being able to think, maybe. There was a quiet moment. We need to watch for God's subtle changes. After that sleepless night in the court, with the sawdust still on his hand from building the gallows, he built the gallows for Mordecai. Remember this. Haman built the gallows for Mordecai, but God ultimately knew who would hang on the gallows. Life may look, and the enemies may look, and the situations in the life that you live may look stressful, but God knows what's happening. God knows. Watch for those little subtle changes. For God to speak to you, and maybe that's your prayer. For God, whisper to me in the night. Let me hear you. Let me see you. Watch for God's subtle changes. Now, something about God in life. Someone has said that the fog on your lake is not accidental. The fog on your lake is not accidental. Esther's and the Jews worry about, and Mordecai's worry about what was going to happen. It was not accidental. God saved through their fog. I know it looks troubling, and I know it looks heartbreaking in this world, but it's not accidental that God will work through that. God does not work on our clocks. If he would do that, oh, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if God showed up when I wanted him to show up, right? If you don't think it, if you're telling me you don't think it, then I'm not listening to you about anything else, because I know we all think it. If God would just show up on my clock, when I want God to do something, would you, God, where are you at? That was David often in the Psalms. Why aren't you listening to me? I mean, this is what I need. God doesn't work on our clocks. He works based on our life events. He doesn't work on a timetable that we have created. He works on our life events. And lastly, and it should come up on the screen here, God surprises and our victories in life are not coincidental. They are sovereignly designed. Listen, if you have not chosen to follow God, maybe you're here today, and maybe you're on Facebook or listening on the radio, and you haven't decided to follow God. Let me reassure you of this, not because of me, but because of what we see in the Bible, especially Esther's story. That story alone stands to show us that the things, the surprises, that worked out pretty well. The victories that we have in life are not coincidences. They're sovereignly designed by God. Not everything is rosy. Not everything is peachy in life. I'm not here to say that, because we live in a world where evil is allowed to exist. But if you're thinking about following God today, let me tell you that He will work in your life in ways that you could never imagine. They're not accidents. They're not coincidences. They're sovereignly designed. And if you have been following God, let me encourage you to look back on the things that God has done. That's why I am so thankful that these scriptures are where they are, because it allows us to look back. I want you to look back at your life. Can I tell you a quick story? I think we have a lot of time. I can't quit too early, right? When I was in the AIM program, 19 years old, I went there with not a lot of financial support, but faith in God. My dad, you remember Dad, you dropped me off. I was a little scared. Dad said later, he admitted that he was a little scared. And I remember not too long, I had two bills I had to pay. I didn't know where it was going to come from. And I remember the day that I prayed to God, God, I don't know where this is coming from, but I need some help. The next day, two checks from two unsuspected people showed up, and I had a dollar left. Praise God. You know? I mean, it works. Remember those things. Go back in your memory and allow God to flood your memory with the things that He's done for you. I was listening this week to a lecture on Joshua, and in it he talks about how the conquest of the land of Canaan and the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, how everybody was conquered by God's people save one. And you know what didn't happen before that? They didn't pray. They didn't ask God. They didn't consult God, and they failed. And so this was his statement. It's in your bulletin at the very end. He said, "Open your arms and let God be God on how He moves in your life." See, that was the problem when they were in the land flowing with milk and honey. They did not allow God to be God in how He dealt in their lives. That was David's greatest sin. Do you remember? Wasn't it Bathsheba? Now, Bathsheba was quite the story and quite the blow up of how things should be. But David's greatest sin was the one day when he counted the men in his army. And it cut him to the heart, because he did not open his hands and let God be God in the way He dealt with his lives. So this morning, if you're thinking about following God, if you're thinking about giving your life to God, if you're thinking about surrendering to Him, let me encourage you with those words to simply open your arms and allow God to be God, how He works in your life. Amen? If you've worshiped God for a long time, if you've been in God, in Christ, for a while, open your arms and let God be God in how He works in your life. And I promise you, not because of me, but because of God, that God will work wonders. And no telling what God will do through your life in the middle of struggle. So maybe somebody here today needs to be baptized. Maybe somebody here needs to give their life to Christ. We're going to sing a song, and I'm going to invite you to come down front, and the baptistry is ready, and we'll watch you be baptized into Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away, to begin to walk a life. There's no pre-requirements. There's no pre-qualifications. Just surrendering to Jesus. That's all you have to do. And if you're on Facebook Live or on the radio, I want to encourage you again. If you made that decision, to make it right now. Say, God, I surrender all, and I give my life to you. And I want you to call me. I want you to call me this afternoon. Call the office this week. 575, what's my number? 500-2413. I want you to call me. We'll talk about what it means to be baptized, to be washed in Jesus Christ. We live in strange times, so we're going to do things maybe a little differently, but we're going to get to the same God. But if you're here today, you need to surrender to Him. Maybe you're here today and just need to do this physically or just in your heart to say, God, I'm going to let you be God and how you work in my life. And let's do that today and watch what God does in us and through us. Let's stand and sing.